just as freely as Jesus does. We can stand in the presence of our Father without any sense of inferiority. That's our position in Christ. Do you understand? We're in Him, and to be in Him is to have and possess all that He has.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Friday, everyone. On today's program, Pastor Bill closes out the week with the conclusion to the message, One Man, from the New Testament Epistle of Romans. Now here's Pastor.
Think about it. Just one trespass brought death. One. Brought sin. And just think what Jesus has done. But the death of our Lord has provided forgiveness, eternal life for billions and billions and billions. Man, I think, oh God, you're so good. God hates sin so much that it only took one sin, one trespass, to condemn the entire world or the entire human race. But God hates sin, yes, but He loves the sinner more. And that's why He sent Christ to save us. Amen? And I think, God, you're so good. And then, for if by one man's offense, verse 17, death reigned, there's that word again, reigned as king, absolute monarch, through the one, and it did, as a matter of fact, read Genesis 5, talking about the genealogy or the family genealogy of Adam, and you'll just read one after another, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. That's why death was reigning. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, that gift being declared in right standing with God, not by law, not by human merit, or any of those things. It says, look at this now, will reign. Now, death is reigned, grace is reigned, meaning to reign as king. And look what here, he says, will reign, speaking of you, speaking of me, will reign as kings in this life. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Think about that. We'll reign as kings in this life. How? Through the one Christ, Jesus. Now, death is king. Death is a tyrant. Death is an enemy. The Bible calls it an enemy. And it rules over people to produce fear. But the Christian, we should not have any fear of death. We know that if we're in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:8 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. See, we don't have to worry about it. If one man, Adam, caused the whole world to die, how much more can one man, Jesus Christ, when we believe upon Him, cause everyone to live, amen, and have eternal life? That's why Jesus, when He was talking to Mary and Martha in John chapter 11, verse 25, I believe it is, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me, Jesus said, shall never die. And then he looked at the girls and he said, the sisters, and said, believest thou this? And they said, yea, Lord, we believe that you're Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, it's only by simple faith that you're saved, amen? Just simply believing in what Jesus has done. And I'm so thankful for that. Listen, we've just not received grace, but it says we've received the abundance of grace. And that word where it says will reign, it doesn't say, well, it might rain, or it doesn't say, I hope I'm going to rain to the believer. No, no, no. J.B. Phillips' translation says this, that all should all live their lives victoriously. All of their lives, not some of their lives, not just a few years of their lives, but all of their lives. David Livingstone said of that passage, he said, let us refuse to be content with a Christian existence that cannot be finally be summed up as he reigned in life through Christ Jesus. And we'll talk about that at the end of this message, how important that is, what he just said. Loved one, look at verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men by that one act of disobedience of Adam, resulting in judgment or condemnation, and that is to all mankind, okay? Even so, though one man's righteous act, meaning Jesus on the cross, the free gift came to all men, resulting in, look at this word, justification for life. Now, when it says all men, that's not a universalism where everyone's going to be saved, meaning all men, all women who what? believed. Okay. To be justified for life. That justification, it means a certain kind of life. And we're going to be finding that out when we get to Romans 6 and following. It's that certain kind of life. It means a new kind of life. A life that we have never, ever lived before. See, our union with Adam made us sinners, made us to die. But our union with Christ gives us eternal life, but also to reign in this life through him. Amen? You know, I look at it and I say, Lord, that's what I want. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, the word in there means to possess all that he is because you are now in him. It says new creation. Is brand new, never created before. You're born from above. It says, then old things pass away. The devil's no longer your master. Amen. Sin is no longer your master. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. See, the justification of life is a new beginning. It is a brand new life that God gives us. For by as one man's disobedience, meaning the sin of Adam again, many were made sinners. Also by one man's obedience, meaning Jesus, many will be made righteous. So if we're made sinners by the work of Adam, how much more can we will be made righteous by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we believe upon him? Verse 20 now, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded or increased, God's grace abounded much more or overflowed beyond measure. Now, those two words, abounded, even though they're the same in our printed page, they're not the same in the Greek. The first one, it says, where sin abounded, it means addition. But where it's used here, where God's grace abounded, that is used as a multiplication factor. In other words, it just exceeded anything that we could ever imagine. It overflowed and overflowed and overflowed abundantly. See, the law that God gave, no man ever kept. What did it do? It magnified our sinfulness. It just told us that we were sinners. It was powerless, though, to get us out of our sin. It just told us that we were wrong. We were guilty. It didn't make us a sinner, though. Adam's sin made us a sinner. Very important to remember that. You know, the law was temporary. Grace is eternal. Okay, now, so no matter how great human sin becomes, God's grace always will overflow it. You can't stop it. Charles Simeon said it this way, God determined that his grace should establish its throne on the ruins of the empire which sin had erected. How did that happen? Because God sent his only begotten son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, reigned as king, even so grace might reign. Reign as king through righteousness to eternal life. And there's only one way, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now listen, sin reigned unto death, but God's reign unto eternal life. Sin still with us today? Death still with us? Yes, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen, God's grace is greater than any sin. When somebody comes to me and says, God will never forgive this sin, I go, really? I always take them to that passage. I say, let me break this down for you. Now, are you telling me that your sin is bigger than and so huge that the abounding, overflowing grace of God that has already forgiven all the sins of the world when a man believes in Christ is not big enough to forgive you of your sin? He says, well, now that you put it that way, I guess you're right. And I said, no, God is right. Yes, God forgives. Now listen, before we close, I want to talk to you for a moment. You know, that was a lengthy doctrinal statement of Paul closing out the doctrine of justification by faith or salvation by faith alone. Now we're going to move into sanctification. You know, I've been a Christian a long, long time, and I have heard many, many teachings on about how we should reign in this life as kings. And this is a very important subject. And most of the things that I've heard in my time as a believer, most of them have really been upsetting to me. You know, let me ask you a question. To reign as kings in this life, does it mean that we, since we're the king's kid, that we should live in palaces? All of us? Nothing wrong with having a palace, but that's not what it means. Does it mean that every believer, since we're going to reign like kings, that we're to be rich? No. Does it mean we should be weighted on hand and foot? No, it doesn't mean that at all. And, you know, we need to really get that into our hearts because, see, most Christians today, they have a different concept of what it really means to reign in this life by Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want you to turn in your Bibles quickly to Philippians, right after Ephesians, Ephesians, Philippians, right there. And I want you to look at chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 with me. And let's talk just for a moment about reigning his life as we close out this morning. You know, and I want you to start, though, down at verse 5, Philippians 2, 5. And let me read that with you. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, let's look at the characteristics of our king, okay? And let's look at the characteristics of his mind beginning in verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there's any encouragement, if you will, in Jesus, if any comfort of love, in other words, the comfort that God gives you in his love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any koinonia, a companionship, if you will, being with the Holy Spirit who works in the life of the believer. He says, if any affection, if any mercy, Paul says, man, please fulfill my joy. We can translate it like this today. Make my day. He says, fulfill my joy how? By being like-minded. We're talking to Christians right now. I'm talking about reigning in life. How can the body of Christ reign in life if we're not in agreement with what God says how it is we should reign in life? Amen? No, we need to be in that agreement. The Bible says, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? You can't do it. He says, listen, I want you to be like-minded, having the same love. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You want to rule? If you want to reign in this life that you're living in right now, you know how you do that? You walk in love. The moment that a believer, the moment that a Christian steps out of love, you step, loved one, you step into darkness because God is love. Amen? If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, meaning fellowship with God and, of course, one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Listen, love never fails. You want to rule? That's how you please God. You know, when we walk as Jesus walked upon this planet, he loved everyone. He loved the sinner. He loved everyone. He came to seek those who the lost. And I look and I say, Lord, love. That's how you rule. That's how you win. That's how you show who you truly are, one of the king's kids. Amen? And you say, well, how do you get that? Well, let me give it to you this way. What did Jesus command the disciples and all of us in the upper room when he washed his disciples' feet? You know, remember when he gave them an example? What did Jesus tell them? He gave them a new commandment in John 13, 34 through 35. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Agape. Love one another. And then here's the new part. As I have loved you to the same degree that I loved you and want you, I want that same degree to be in all of you boys. All of my people. He says, and by this kind of love, the whole world will know that you belong to me, that you are my disciples. Listen, love hopes all things, bears all things, endures all things. Love never fails. God's love never fails. Do you understand me? Oh, loved one, love fulfills the law, does it not? Love works no harm to his neighbor. Matter of fact, faith worketh by love. God is love. The Bible says, hey, if you say that you love God and hate your neighbor, you are a liar. I didn't say that. You see, the problem is that, you know, the church today, a lot of us, we still want to act like Adam. We're not in Adam. Do you understand? We're not in Adam. We're in Christ now, and we're different. We're not the same kind of people. It says being of one accord. That means united. Being of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. Humility. Humility. In other words, not full of self. A humble person. Lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Man, think about that. You want to reign? You want to rule? He says, be others-centered and not self-centered. He goes on and he says, and let each of you look out not only for his own interest, take care of yourself, but also the interest of others. In other words, don't make you the object of your life. There are other people. Get involved with other people. And then listen to what it says. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me give you another version, the NIV. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, the NCV translation. In your lives, you must think, you must act like Jesus. Now listen to me. Verse 5 in the Greek is not an option for the believer, the true believer. It's not even a suggestion. It is a direct command from God Almighty. Let this mind be in you. It means the only one that has the right to conform the way we think is Jesus Christ. We need to think like him. We need to act like him. Why? He reigned. He ruled. Demons trembled, did they not? Listen, the waves, the wind ceased at his command. He walked through this earth. He reigned and he ruled as he walked. He lived as a man, but he was God and man. 100% God, 100% man. Amen? Listen, he says, now I want you to do that. If you want to reign in kings, I want you to do it just like Jesus did. That's the whole key, loved one. Listen, death, we're all going to face it unless we're raptured out of here. Death did not abdicate its throne, but I want you to know something. Death was conquered. Death was conquered by our Lord and our Savior. Amen? The Bible says in Hebrews 2:9 that it says that Jesus, our Lord, he tasted death for everyone. You know that word everyone? That means everyone. He tasted that death. And the word taste there means he experienced it to the fullest that we would, unimaginable, whatever death really is, whatever Adam really caused to happen when he sinned and brought death into this world to the human race. Jesus not only conquered it, he experienced it, but we never will. He experienced the full brunt of death. Listen, when we die, like I said earlier, to be absent from the body, man, is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You know what? If there's a shadow there, as you've heard me say over the years, there has to be a light. And that light is the light of our Lord. Amen? He says, oh no, I'm there to comfort you. My staff is going to guide you and so forth. Listen, we're not going to experience death like that. This old junky body is going to go back to the dust. And you know what? The moment we close our eyes, we are instantly home. We're citizens of heaven. Where there's a place prepared for us. Amen? That's what it's all about. And I say, oh, Lord, thank God I'm not in that one man Adam anymore, that I'm in that one man Christ Jesus who's conquered everything for me. He destroyed the one who had the power over death. It says in Hebrews 2:14, and that is the devil. Destroyed it, annihilated it. Listen, Christian, if you're a born-again believer, I say this with much tenderness, you are not in Adam. You're not in Adam. In Adam, you're going to die. Christ, you're going to live. In Christ, you're going to reign. You're no longer in Adam. And if you're no longer in Adam, why would you live like you're in Adam? Why would you be mean to other people? And you say, no, I'm ruling. I don't have to be mean to anybody. I've already won. The Bible says, Paul says, all things are yours. You've already won. You're already the king's kids. You can turn the other cheek. That's what a ruler does. You turn the other cheek. You forgive those who've harmed you and trespassed against you. You love other people. See, that's what it's all about. Adam doesn't do that. People that are in Adam, they cause problems. They're divisive and they hurt other people. They're always lying and gossiping. Ah, boy, that went over big, didn't it? Why did Christians do that? Because Adam tries to say, I'm running your life. And you say, no, I'm not in that freaky family anymore. You know, no, I'm not there. I'm not in the Adam's family. I'm out of your family. I've passed. I'm out of it completely. But Adam comes up and says, go ahead, lie. Go ahead, cheat. Go ahead and condemn. But we don't have to do that. Because, see, Adam has no control over me anymore. Adam has no control over you. We who were dead in trespasses and sins, our transgressions, all of it, loved one, listen, we're no longer spiritually dead. We've been made alive. We've been quickened. God lives in us. The Holy Spirit is ruling and reigning in our life. We are in Christ Jesus. That means that if we're in Christ and all that he is, we can really reign. We can say to every problem that we're facing, no, I know the one who has been given all authority in heaven and upon this earth. I belong to him, and I'll face nothing alone because he's always with me. He's promised never to leave me and never, ever to forsake me. Jesus is our righteousness. Amen? That's all we've been learning about justification. If Jesus is our righteousness, listen to me. We can stand in the presence of God just like Jesus can stand in the presence of God, just as freely as Jesus does. We can stand in the presence of our Father without any sense of inferiority. That's our position in Christ. Do you understand? We're in him, and to be in him is to have and possess all that he has. Did Jesus keep the law? We kept the law. Did Jesus never sin? We've never sinned. Why? We're in Christ now. We have his righteousness, his perfect, spotless, sinless record has been imputed to our account. We can stand in the presence of the Father just as freely as our Lord without any sense of unworthiness. Why? We're sons. We're daughters of God. Where his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the sons of God, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Christ in me, the hope of glory. We're co-heirs with Christ. We've gotten so far out of Adam. Listen, we passed out of death as Adam. Amen. It says, the Bible says in John 5:24, we have now passed out of death. Adam, see you later. We've passed out of death, but we've passed into what? Life. Zoe, the real life, the God kind of life. We have eternal life that has been given to us. We don't have to worry about the devil. Let me ask you a question. Whenever Jesus, you know, had to go to the wilderness there to be tempted by the devil, remember 40 days, 40 nights, and so forth, he was led up after his baptism. Do you think Jesus went, oh boy, I'm in trouble. The devil is there. Jesus never walked with fear one day of his life. We're in the one who had no fear. Are you following me? We can walk through this life and say, I don't have any fear because you know what? God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Amen? I don't have to operate like that. I'm in Christ. And well, but the devil is in this world. Well, good. I'm in the one who defeated the devil. I'm in the one who overcome this world. Amen? Yes. Listen, the Bible says in 1 John 4:4, it tells us this. It says, loved one, it says, you are God's little children and you have overcome them. And greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. What does that mean? It means that Satan has absolutely no dominion over the believer. Not any at all. You don't have to tremble. Well, the devil's beating me up. Why? Did you open a door for him? Well, if you open a door for him, hello? I mean, would you let Mike Tyson in your house? No, well, I mean, I'm not saying he's a bad man, but would you want to fight Mike Tyson? I wouldn't want him to thump me. No, listen, you don't want to open a door. Listen, we are to reign. We walk in that love. We walk in his power. We walk in that grace that we have 24/7. Loved one, it doesn't get any better than that. Now listen, we could not help. And if you're an unbeliever, and I don't mean that, I say that in a loving way. If you don't know Christ, you're listening live, you don't know Christ, listen to me. You can't help being an Adam. You can't help it. We were all in Adam at one time, but you don't have to stay in Adam. You see, you can get out of Adam. In Adam, all die. In Adam, sin is the ruler. Sin reigns. It'll finally kill you. The wages of sin is death, and that's not physical death. That is eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. Why would you want to stay in Adam? When you can pass out of death and you can enter life.
Well, next time on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill's study from Romans will continue with the message entitled, Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. And we hope you'll join us again. Thank you for spending this time with us. May the Lord bless you with a great weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app.
Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.